pursuant to executive orders N25-20 and N-29-20. Members of the public who wish to access this board meeting may do so online or by calling 669-900-6833.
I'm sorry, one minor correction. It's a special meeting, not emergency.
This is a special meeting. Thank you for the correction. Members of the public attending online and wish to comment during the board meeting will use the online raise hand tool in Zoom, where I will elicit public comment when the chairperson elicits public comments. Members of the public planning to attend by phone are requested to confirm their intent to comment up to 1 hour prior to the meeting. Individual comments will be limited to 3 minutes. If an interpreter is needed, comments will be translated into English and the time limit shall be 6 minutes. At its discretion, the board may limit the total amount time allotted to public comments and set new time limits for individual comments. The board reserves the right to mute and remove a participant from the committee if the participant unreasonably disrupts the meeting. Requests, modifications, and accommodations can be made in that are required by Section 202 of the ADA. So, I'd like to call the meeting to order in Section 1. And Sean, would you please take roll and ask and vote on the meeting being called to order?
Chuck Taggs?
Present. Sorry.
Ian Connell?
Present.
J.P. Anderson?
Present.
John Flaherty?
Here.
Nora Crivello?
Present.
Shara Hegde?
Present.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Sean. Are there any public comments that we've been notified about?
No public comments have been requested.
Okay, I'll forego, because we have a lot of work today, I'll forego the opening remarks and move to Section 2, which is the request to a vote to move into closed session purposes to conduct the CEO evaluation. Do I hear a motion to for the board to enter into closed session?
So move.
And do I hear a second?
In seconds.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, Sean, will you call the roll to move into closed session, please?
Yes. Chuck Taggs?
Present.
Ian Connell?
Oh, aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
J.P. Anderson?
Aye.
Nora Crivello?
Present.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
Okay, so.
The motion passes unanimously.
Okay. We could all move into closed session. That would be great. Ben, you could do your magic.
John, do you see the invite?
Ah, I do. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's the San Benito motorcycle cruise out there. I'll go on mute.
Kevin, I'm just wondering, should we stay on like this, or if we have things to do, should we?
I think you could either just go on mute and turn off your camera and just kind of pay attention, or I can text to the DC group after when they
okay.
Come.
The board has come out of closed session, has taken no action in which it needs to report in open session, and we will move on to the next item.
Hi, John. So the next item is the COVID report.
Thank you. Yeah. Kevin, you want to give us a brief update from the last meeting?
The good news, we have good news. We have declining rates of staff and student absences. So the our dashboard that Sean was able to put together with the support of Ben and IT and Alex and our student information systems is showing that our student absences went down. This is as of Friday, so we don't have today yet on the absences, but this is very encouraging to see these downward trends. What we do see a little bit of an upward trend is in the long-term independent study students. Slightly more wanting to take part in that. And then our site operation managers are inputting a daily survey that is indicating the number of total staff absent, new positives. It does show an increase here for Gilroy Prep on the new positives. The one misleading thing on Monday is that Monday also catches up for any that were reported over the weekend. So Mondays tend to be a little click higher. But as we look at the staff, I heard from Hollister Prep, they didn't have a chance to update the form yet today, but they're down to 6 today from 11 last week. And Watsonville Prep, which peaked around 12 last week, is down and stabilizing as 6 staff out. And Gilroy Prep, which had shot up to 21 right when we came back from the break, is down to 9. So that's very encouraging news to report. You know, we're going to encourage people not to go to Super Bowl parties unmasked. And maybe that's the silver lining about the Niners not moving on, is there might not be quite as many Super Bowl party transmissions up here. But that said, John, happy to take any questions, but that's a quick report and it is encouraging.
Thank you.
I think the one question I have is, it looks definitely in the right direction, and I don't know how much longer we're going to need this. It would be helpful for me to know the percentages, because 12 staff out at WPS is a very different effect than 12 staff out at GPS. And there's 3 times more staff, I assume. So you don't have to redo all the Tableau, but maybe if you just have that in your back pocket, it would be helpful.
Any other questions or comments for Kevin? Who, by the way, is a Rams fan, so just. Hearing none, we'll move on to, thank you, Kevin. We'll move on to section 4, item B, the study session, proposed partnership with Hayward Collegiate, and I'm going to turn this over to, while it says board chair, I'm going to turn this over in terms of the initial discussion to Kevin, who can lead us through this. Kevin?
Okay.
And as well as, Kevin, if you would rely on board members who are the working committee on this for comments and insights, that would be helpful too. Thank you.
Absolutely. They are part of our presentation. Everybody hear me okay? And see the slides? Yeah, okay. So the most of what I'm about to share was in the memo. I'm just gonna do some highlights and quickly turn it over to our next presenter. But 2 main goals is that our board members gain increased clarity regarding the issues of the proposed partnership, and that our board members are better prepared for the February 8th meeting when a vote on the intent to merge is planned. And in terms of how the flow will be for the study session, I'm going to pass over to Luis, Luis Vigar from La Piana next. And then we have Nina Goswami here, our founder and CEO of Hayward Collegiate, is going to do a presentation for approximately 10 minutes. And then we have our subcommittee members, Chuck Dagg, Shara, and Ian, presenting the subcommittee's findings in their report. And then we'll have board discussion, and Luis is going to support by facilitating that. So that's the agenda flow. And any questions on that before I just get through my last three slides or so?
No, I would simply note for the record that Nora is going to have to leave in a half an hour. So Nora, just sign off, and we'll, Sean, if you could just reflect, keep an eye out and reflect it in the agenda when Nora, who had a pre-noticed hard
stop.
I'm
trying to get out of it. It's a big customer, so sorry.
Okay. So just quick, how did we get here? Well, Hayward Collegiate is running an excellent program, and as a small single site operator, facing sustainability challenges. Navigator, on the other hand, has been seeking to expand to a network of 5 schools, so a lot of potential alignment. And then as we looked at our programs, our shared history, as you know, Nina, under her BES fellowship, did her residency with Heather Parsons at Hollister Prep, a lot of collaboration on the academic model that was documented in Hayward Collegiate's charter. We have some common philanthropic partners. So there's a strong foundation. The very first steps, again, just to remind everybody, we've been working with Hayward Collegiate as a partner in our model providing work. And that's been an important foundation for our two organizations as well. Nina and I have had numerous conversations prior to talking to our respective boards, and then seeing that we had very strong alignment and a common purpose, we requested proposals from 4 different firms. We received 4 different proposals, and of those, La Piana Consulting was hired, and Luis Vergara is here from La Piana today. He's our lead with La Piana, and Luis was also the lead consultant from La Piana who supported Alpha and Cornerstone when Shara and John Glover were merging their organizations a few years ago, and they've also worked on a number of other charter mergers. So quick overview of due diligence, a lot of document sharing, numerous meetings. We've had 2 joint subcommittee meetings, so Chuck, Shara, and Ian, along with Nina and myself, and 3 board members from Hayward Collegiate have met twice. John Glover supported Nina and I in having some conversations around culture. So a lot of due diligence has taken place, and my time is up. So I am going to pass it over to you, Luis. Luis, are you going to want to share screen?
No, that's okay. I'll just give a quick verbal. I think it'll be quicker and much more effective. Hello, everyone. Good to see many of you who I've seen before. Just want to kind of provide you with a quick overview of where things are and how we've gotten here to the point. As Kevin mentioned, you know, they've been through various points of this process. And what we've been doing, you know, at first with Kevin and Nina and then with the committee is really kind of working through various issues. In the beginning was very programmatic driven. And when we look at programmatic issues between the both organizations, we're looking, truthfully said, are there any roadblocks to a potential partnership or merger? And that's what we're really looking at. Is there anything could get in the way? You know, that conversation took a while because there's a lot of components to educational philosophy and other things that schools have to look at. And at one point we came to the determination with Nina and Kevin, you know, we're pretty good. There's not a lot of things programmatically that'll hold us back. There's things that we have to work through and potential areas of integration that we have to work on. But overall, that we're in a good place in terms of that component of it. That led us then to engage the subcommittees and discussions really around thinking about the organizational structure. types of questions that we look to address during that point is really, you know, what type of partnership should it be? How soon should it happen? What will management structures look like? Again, what we're really trying to do through our process, not just now, but kind of going forward as well, is you're really looking at kind of if a potential merger is a good idea, what are the obstacles and what do you need to get them out of the way? And usually obstacles are, I tell people, are just that. They're obstacles that you want to work through kind of in the discussion. We call it a negotiation because sometimes you go, yeah, I'll do that, but then maybe not this. So those are the kind of things we're trying to work through as part of that process. What that's kind of resulted in is the point that we're at now, that we've addressed a lot of the obstacles. We feel like we're in a good place to potentially say, yay or nay, we want to do this. And I kind of want to reemphasize that yay or nay, we want to do this. What is it that you're doing? You're agreeing to merge, not to merge. You're agreeing to kind of go through if you decide to vote in the affirmative, you're agreeing to basically say, yeah, we're going to go through a legal merger integration process. Once that legal integration process is over, you're then going to enter into a final decision-making process where you're going to say, yes, we formally approve the merger. So you're not at this point agreeing to merge, you're agreeing to the intent of merger. I know that sounds very simplistic. I am not a lawyer. I mean, very, very specific. I am not a lawyer, but basically that's kind of what a lawyer would tell you. You don't make the final decision until you do. So what you're kind of agreeing to is that you're getting married, but you haven't actually executed on that until the date comes. And so what we've done, like I said, is go through the merger. What happens now is that we have to take into consideration what your decisions are around that. You know, do we want to go ahead and formalize this and move forward? If you do, then the next steps that will be triggered are that NIDA and Hayward Collegiate will submit authorization to change to the authorizers to accept the changes. And then it's formalized through them. And then it goes to the state through another process where the state approves the actual corporate merger. So what the first step with the authorizers is that you just have to agree to the changes in terms. What the state has to do is they have to agree to the actual merger. For the most part, usually there's nothing that really precludes folks if they've done enough of their due diligence from that happening, but the state has to formally approve a merger. So those are the kind of key steps. In the interim, if you all approve the merger and that process goes through, one of the other things that we're going to work with Kevin and Nina is actually developing a concrete integration / implementation plan for how this will look like in the course of the next X amount of time. So they have to define the amount of time. You can integrate a merger, say, for example, you can say, we're going to formally merge corporate entities on July 1, 2022, but we won't start effectively working together until, I don't know, January 1st, 2023. And again, it's up to you. You can do it at the same time and align it. You can do it later, but there's different options for you to look at it. The bottom line is that we're at that juncture where we want you to decide if you think this is a good idea or not, so we can determine if we go forward with some of the other key steps. I know I've gone through that fairly quickly because I think you've all heard it at different points and during this process, but I just want to see if there's any questions or comments that I can address for y'all about the process, about the key outcomes to date, about some of the next steps, because again, I know that I've rolled through those fairly quickly.
Okay, and hearing none at this point, Luis, if some come up, Luis will be here for the meeting. Thank you, Luis.
Sure.
And so now we're going to introduce Nina. Where is Nina on my screen?
I'm right here.
There you are, right up top. Hi, Nina. Well, hi, I'm going to pass it to you, and you are ready to share screen whenever you're ready.
Okay, I'll get started. One sec. Okay, can everyone see my screen? Awesome. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nina Goswami. I'm the CEO and founder of Hayward Collegiate. Really excited to be here today to speak with you. I actually want to take a second to talk about why I chose this image in particular as the first image of our presentation. I love this picture for two reasons. One, if you ever look up Hayward on Google image search, you'll find that this is actually the only nice picture of Hayward you'll see. And other than that, it's just Gordon Hayward from the Boston Celtics. So that's one. The second thing I see in this picture is the physical gap between Hayward and the Bay Area. And that actually is a metaphorical gap of, that is actually metaphorical for the achievement gap we see here in the Bay Area as well. So across the bridge, about 30 minutes away, you enter Atherton and Menlo Park, where 98% of scholars are reading and doing math at grade level. When you come back here to Hayward, that number drops down to about 19% and gets into the single digits when we look at children of color. So for me, this picture always reminds me of the beauty of Hayward, but also the tremendous work that still needs to get done there. So today, like we all know, we're here to talk about the potential merger. And here's an outline of that presentation. I first want to walk you through who I am, a little bit about my experience, why Hayward is an important place to invest our time in, and some of the foundational milestones we've reached just in our past 3 years of operations. And lastly, of course, why I think this merger is going to benefit both organizations. Here I am. My name is Nina Goswami. I bring to this organization at least 9 years of field work. I started my work at the Noble Network, which is one of the highest performing schools in the city of Chicago. I moved to being a founding member at a KIPP school on Chicago's South Side, where I not only served as an instructor, but also in the capacity of a dean of culture. I moved back to the Bay after that, where I worked at an ed tech company, Edpuzzle, and I was the director of growth, responsible for building an online professional development platform for over 5 million of our users. And it wasn't enough. I wanted to come back to the city that I grew up in. I was born and raised here in Hayward. I've experienced firsthand what it means to have an inequitable education. And I wanted to change that. And so I joined the Building Excellent Schools Fellowship, where I traveled across the country. I visited 40 of the highest performing schools, and I wanted to bring those best practices to Hayward as the founder of Hayward Collegiate. And let me tell you why I was so excited to come home. I want you to meet Angel. When I first met Angel, he was a kindergartner in Hayward. He had dreams of becoming an astronaut and a professional video gamer. He lives with his little sister, who is in kindergarten with us, his two parents, and his grandmother. And yet, at the time before Hayward Collegiate was founded, he was slated to go to one of these 7 schools. It's needless to say that English and math are the backbone of any scholar's success, and he really wasn't going to get that if he stayed within the district. And so we were proposing an alternative option, Hayward Collegiate, to our families who wanted something that was high quality. Our mission at Hayward Collegiate is to prepare South Hayward scholars to have agency over their lives. Agency means a lot of things to a lot of people. To me and my team, agency means the power to choose to do whatever it is that our children want to do in their lives. So it's our responsibility as educators to make sure they're getting the academic foundation to get there, to sign that astronaut contract, to be the professional video gamer that you want to be. And so we did that. Just in our first year of operations, we were really successful academically. We outperformed Silicon School's portfolio average for schools that met their growth record. About 70% of our scholars grew at least 3 steps or more in literacy. STEP was our metric for literacy, and it meant that most of our scholars were growing at least 1 to 2 years, which was pretty amazing and exciting for us as a team. And lastly, sorry to say, Shara, we in that 1 year had the highest growth in the Building Excellent Schools Network. And so that was all that we accomplished just in year one. I want to talk now a little bit about the work we did from day 0, which we call launch, to today. At Hayward Collegiate, I'm not only responsible for ensuring the academic success of our school, I'm also responsible for making sure we're running a sound operational program. And to do that, my board and I decided on three critical levers we had to push throughout these 3 or 4 years to ensure that we were doing that. The first is families. The second is making sure that we're maintaining a strong board that holds us accountable. And the third, of course, is managing our external partnerships. On day zero, we had zero families who were interested in this school. And we did a lot of work to change that. Today, we have a pretty robust wait list that varies throughout the school year. But we also are really proud of the fact that the kids that do come to our school come in almost every single day. So we have one of the best ADAs in EdTech's network of schools that they work in, which we're really proud of. A second is just building a strong foundation and being accountable. We had, at the time that I was running around trying to convince Hayward residents to join our board, nobody was interested. And that changed pretty soon after. We have 4 local board residents. One of them actually left our board last year to move to the county board, which is our authorizer, ensuring that we always have a strong advocate for Hayward Collegiate when we go up to the county. And lastly, it was really important that we got our funding right so that we had the right resources to change scholars' trajectory. Again, Silicon Schools originally was not interested in funding me, and I worked on a lot of things. We met some of our big goals, and up to today, we have the support of Silicon Schools, New Schools, and Charter School Growth Fund so that we are projected to end our year with a 74% fund balance. I wish I could say that we accomplished all of these things through brute force. I think it did feel like that at times, but we actually, worked really hard to create a sound strategy to make sure that we set objectives that aligned to that and that we were executing on that well. And so here's a little bit of an outline of that. Again, I knew in order for us to be successful, we needed to hit these 3 levers really well throughout the year. I'm going to just like dive deep into the first one, which was engaging families. I knew right away that in order for our school to be approved, I needed to make sure we had a lot of families really excited about our program, because that would mean that our authorizer would be more likely to vote for us. And so our objective at the time was really just to build a grassroots community of support. And so I set metrics to achieve that. My board chair and I. The first, I just started off really simple. I wanted to get to know our families here in Hayward. And so we made sure that I was going to at least 20 lunches that other families organized for us. It was actually pretty interesting. We stood outside the Hayward Weeks Library, convinced one parent that we were a good program. They would organize a lunch that Saturday of 5 new parents. We'd meet a parent there. They'd organize the next lunch. So it became this snowball effect that turned out to be probably one of our biggest assets throughout our founding. Later, I realized that the people that speak best about our school are the people that believe in us. And so it was important that we recruited our founding families to go door to door and help us canvas and tell our community about another option. And we were able to make right on that metric as well. And lastly, just from some of my work at EdTech, I know that building brand awareness is mostly just about being able to see your logo, see the colors, and somehow people believe in you more. And so we really made sure that we were out at every farmer's market every Saturday, every booth, every annual mariachi band, just to make sure we were doing that. I could outline the roadmap for all of these other objectives, plus 10 more that we had throughout our years. But I think the important point to highlight for me here is that I was able to build a strong team that believed in this, so much so that we all row in the same direction and we all think about how to achieve our goals in a pretty systematic way here at Hayward Collegiate. And so that leads me to sort of like our final point, which is what does this merger mean for all of us collectively and for our kids? I believe that this is the objective that's going to get us to reach more scholars, for us to be able to bring together a lot of the things we're doing well, to get really much more efficient at it, and be able to serve kids that need it. And so The first is just operational efficiency. I think that there are things that Navigator and Hayward Collegiate are doing really well operationally. And if we brought those things together, such as like how we monitor our testing, how we set up the back end of that, same thing with IT, as well as just like our compliance, I think that we would be able, strong leaders would be able to spend less time doing that work and more time in the classrooms, being able to secure strong academics. The second is teacher retention. I'm sure we're all aware of the looming threat of teacher shortages in the state of California. And if we don't figure that out soon, we're gonna be in a lot of trouble. And I think that right now, all four schools, three of Navi's and ours, are doing something slightly different to ensure strong teacher retention. I think we could pool our resources together and figure out what those right metrics are and be able to operationalize that and then share that knowledge throughout the network versus just in individual schools. The same thing goes with curriculum. As I think Kevin mentioned, I was so incredibly lucky to do my residency under Heather Parsons, who helped me understand the beauty of Navi's curriculum and the greatness that it has. And I think that there's work to be done in regards to being able to scale it properly. And I think that, you know, we have some of those scalable strengths and Navi has those curriculum strengths, and together we could achieve a lot for our kids. And lastly, just the value that our school, I think, can provide to the Navi network. One is our ability to scale. Year zero, we were doing as much as we can all over the place. And I knew pretty quickly that we had to figure out how to set processes and frameworks around this in order for this to be sustainable, even just for a small, you know, mom and pop school. One of the things our school gets right, I think, than any other school I've ever been to, is how we celebrate our kids. When you walk into our school campus, you'll hear scholars singing, using the rhythm and rhyme method to sing their phonics. It's why we're so great at it. It's also why, like, our family engagement is so strong. Our families believe in what we're doing, and they keep coming back, and they are incredibly supportive of us. And we've actually been able to operationalize that so that at any point in any classroom, all of our scholars can do that. And I want to bring that to the network. And lastly, you know, I think that I've done a decent job at bringing our school from zero to one. I'm really proud of Elise Congreve, who is our school principal and has scaled at the network level for academic programs for the past 9 years. And I think together we could be a value add for Navigator. And that's sort of it. This is my closing. We talked about the equity issues in Hayward, a little bit about our foundational milestones and why I hope that this I hope this merger is the right next step for both of our organizations. I'm happy to answer any questions, and I apologize if I rushed through that, but that's it.
This is John Flaherty. Thank you, Nina, for the presentation. Do folks have questions for Nina?
I just have a comment, not a question, but I mean, I've seen a lot of new school presentations, game plans led out, spelled out by leaders. What I just saw in the last couple of minutes was one of the most impressive game plans. An outline of accomplishments. You should be very, very proud of what you've been able to do. As a board member, and you, when you look at schools and you look at the fundraising side of things, you always look at it as an investment. And you are clearly someone I would have no issues investing in.
Thank you.
You really exude a lot of confidence, and you should be really proud of what you've been able to accomplish here.
Nina, this is John Flaherty. I have a question. What has been your biggest challenge for you personally with respect to this, and what keeps you up at nights now?
I think the
besides
biggest,
this merger.
Yeah, I think the challenge changes every year. In year one, it was okay, we have the families now, we really need to build this school. I really see the need. Can I get the Board of Trustees on the same page? And so that was a challenge then. I think now the thing that keeps me up at night is, it's undeniable the gap that COVID has brought to our scholars' academic future. I'm scared for what's going to happen for them 10 years from now. And I made a promise that all of our kindergartners would be able to read by December. That was always something we were able to do. And it's really hard to do that right now. So that's sort of the big thing that's keeping Elise and I up at night.
Thank you. Any other questions for Nina? Okay. Thanks very much, Nina, for the presentation. It's high praise coming from Chuck Daggs.
So the next item is our subcommittee members are going to share out. And I don't think we agreed on an order. So why don't we just do Shara, Ian, Chuck? That's okay.
Sure. So the three of us were able to participate in several subcommittee meetings, and we were able to dig in a little bit deeper into some of the big functional areas that this merger would kind of oversee. And I think one area that I'll speak specifically to is the academic programming. And I think that there's a great foundation in place. I know Crystal and James have been at Navigator. Nina has been down at Hollister. So there's already some synergies happening with the two schools using very similar curricula. I think the place that we would want to make sure we dig in deeply of integration is just making sure that as we think about the rollout, we're going at an appropriate pace, that we're taking on the right sized chunk of material at the right time and setting clear objectives and goals around that. The team has worked together to create an integration plan already. And I think that is a plan that is flexible depending on the needs that emerge, but there has been some thought already put into that. So that was really encouraging to see how much they've been thoughtful about integration at each grade level. I think some of the other pieces around academics is currently right now, a Navigator is going all the way up to eighth grade and Hayward is not slated to do that. I think that is something that could be addressed in the future if the political climate was right and we could more perfectly align the schools. But for right now, that's probably not something we're gonna take on. Kevin, did I capture everything that we talked about? I think that was largely it. Okay.
Great. Well, I'll jump in and I'll talk about on the finance side of things and just what the committee had dug into. So we looked at three kind of, I would say, big buckets of things on the financial side. So one, just the economics of Hayward Collegiate specifically, so now and in the future. Two, the economics of the joint effort, so what resources will this take, will people in philanthropy to ensure that we're successful in setting both organizations up for success once joined? And three, just looking at facility needs under a variety of scenarios. So on the first piece on Hayward Collegiate specifically, Hayward's coming from a place of strong financial health, and you saw Nina have kind of laid that out in the presentation, but they have a very healthy and strong fund balance. And looking forward, when you look at full enrollment at Hayward Collegiate, there's a strong financial picture and can support the full academic program, including contributions to Navigator to support the shared services. So feel confident about Hayward Collegiate specifically. On the second, the joint effort of what resources will this take to be successful. We've done some early modeling and an estimating of the total cost to support merger and integration work. And based on that analysis, we actually have a pretty clear line of sight to existing philanthropy from existing donors to support all of those costs and actually to support them well. And we built out some healthy contingencies just based on all of our collective experiences with when two organizations come together. So we're feeling good about that, that component. And third, on the facility side, just under the different scenarios, the teams have done a great job of identifying a number of different potential options. And though we're still need to explore those and, you know, actually fully understand what the different capital needs would be from if we pursued the different options, the early kind of analysis looks promising, and based on the Hayward model, what they could support. And I think that's a critical piece to know that whether it be staying in the current location or exploring one of the other options that was laid out in the memo, that all of those can financially work for Hayward. So though there's more work to do, we're feeling good, and I'm specifically feeling good about the financial feasibility to do this well based off my experiences kind of seeing this done at other organizations.
Any questions for Ian before I jump into the governance? Okay, governance is pretty straightforward at a minimum, as we've discussed before. Two board members from Hayward Collegiate would join the Navigator board, and we would then obviously dissolve the Hayward Collegiate board. The newly formed Navigator board would be the governing board moving forward. There would be no changes to the bylaws required to accommodate the merger. The merged organization would use the bylaws of the surviving entity, which would be the Navigator bylaws. And Hayward Collegiate nominees would be vetted the same as any Navigator board member are today. So no major changes there. We may have to update our bylaws post-merger, but that's more of a heads up. The bylaws haven't been revised since 2015, so this change may require some updates. But other than that, it's pretty straightforward unless someone asks questions. Okay, Kevin, I guess we turn it back to you.
Okay, thank you. Just an extra thank you to our subcommittee members who have spent, you know, a lot of time supporting the due diligence process. So thank you for your depth of experience and sharing it and asking such great questions along the way. And so at this point, John, we were gonna just go into the board discussion, and Luis was willing to facilitate that. So Luis, I'm going to pass it to you and see if you have any guiding questions or how you want to support that process.
Great. Thanks a lot, Kevin and John, again. So a couple of things that we really want to be able to do while we have our time together. One is what you've heard so far is kind of the reasons to do it. And hopefully what we've done is we've moved as many of the roadblocks I mentioned in the beginning. But for you all to be able to come to a decision, I think at your meetings next week would be, what, if anything else, do you need to be answered? Or what should we discuss? You know, what questions might you have about the process to date or what comes next? So that's, you know, one big question. Two is just kind of, you know, addressing any potential concerns from any of the key issues that you've raised. Kevin and Nina can provide, you know, direct experience and content in regards to what the schools are doing. And I can provide any kind of just guidance around legal or other. And again, I'm not an attorney, but we've done this enough that we kind of know the ins and outs of how the process works. So just kind of opening up to any questions y'all may have, in particular, any kind of key issues or concerns that you feel you need to address before you make a full decision. And I'll use my favorite question that John actually used, which was, if you have to make a decision, what will keep you up at night? You know, what's the nagging issue that kind of remains for you, if any?
This is John. I have been in with all respect to Nina, who's on the line, I have three questions. The first one, which keeps me up at night, is the organization, both organizations' culture, and is that a good match? And notwithstanding James's approach and you know, sort of the navigator way, I got that part, but I think that the board needs to have further discussions about that, and we want to. The second thing is, if I is the political situation in Hayward, I don't know if Kirsten Carr has been asked to conduct a political analysis on behalf of Navigator, not with respect to working with Nina and that sort of thing. But I'm always concerned that the political questions are underrepresented, and and the actual risk is often misidentified. And I'd like to hear much more detail about that. Before including the, you know, what can go wrong, and with respect to Navigator and with respect to these votes. And then third, I heard from Ian with respect to the financial picture is good. And I just want to make sure our financial folks at the staff level agree with that. So I'm interested in all three of those things at some juncture. This may not be the time to do it. It may be, I don't want to, if Kirsten hasn't been asked to do a full-blown political analysis, I don't want to put her on the spot now, but those are the things that I'd be interested in hearing.
And I think, you know, we've had some discussions about the political. I'll definitely, Kevin and Nina, chime in a little bit about the culture. And, you know, to be honest, when we talk, John, about nonprofit mergers, culture is one of the key things that comes up. It's one of the key issues that we worry about, because there's no financial component that usually, oh, we're buying you out kind of thing, right? So you bring the culture on. The one thing that I always tell folks about it, actually in talking to Kevin and Nina, I think that there's some work to be done in culture, but it's not as far as anybody would think that it is, or that it might, that you all may perceive. I think that they have some commonalities there and some things that they can actually benefit from each other. But one of the key things that we would work with them on integration is, and this is really, as much as culture has arrived at, and you, Nina, developed your culture from the ground up, and I'm sure you all did as well. But when you're going to merge two entities, what you do is you have to actually kind of create some structure to develop the culture building. So you have to, you know, is even if they're really, divergent, you want to start building it out. So you do some, you know, some common practices that are available for organizations to start working on developing a unified culture. So it's not necessarily the response you're looking for, but there's, what I'm getting at is there's some approaches and techniques to develop culture after entities merge. And it's one of the key things that we would ask executive management to look at on a continuous basis, because it is what would derail any productive merger is culture. So Kevin, Nina, I don't know if you'd speak more to that, or individually, any thoughts about it?
Nina, would you like to go?
Yeah, sure. I think my first thought is, I think whenever you start something new, you need to sort of get to know each other, get your feet wet, learn what the needs are, and see how you both can mesh. And I think we probably, during integration, spend a lot of time through that, you know, going through the get to know you phase first.
It feels like from a school culture standpoint, there's a lot of alignment, John, and I do think it is a good fit. I think when you look at staff culture, there's been a lot of relationship building between Hayward's leadership and Navigator's leadership. Crystal and their principal Elise meet weekly. James and Crystal have been out to the Hayward Collegiate site several times. Nina and I have been doing a lot of work together, and I feel that there's the building blocks of a good consolidated culture with us coming together. And I don't know if we've identified ways of working that might be different. Like I think in Nina's presentation today, her metric-driven approach felt like more metric-driven than what I've experienced under my leadership. It's something that I'd like to learn from. So I do feel like there's opportunities that could support each other as we merge cultures. I don't know if Crystal or Kirsten or James want to speak to this topic, but and then we could kind of address the other two that you asked about, John.
In addition to getting to know Elise and Nina, who they're just a joy to work with, Elise brought their manager of ops, Maribel, out to Watsonville Prep, and she was able to tour Watsonville and partner up with Caitlin, who's our ops manager at Watsonville Prep School. For a couple of months, James and I had the opportunity to coach a couple of teachers and build relationships, and I was just so touched the last time I visited and walked into the first grade classroom, and all the kids said, "Hi, Miss Crystal, I remember when you taught us a lesson." And so I think just piggybacking off, there has been some relationship building. And I think just shout out, Nina, to the culture you've built. It's a joy anytime I have the opportunity to visit Hayward Collegiate and the campus.
Yeah, Kevin, I'm especially because I am at dismissal at GPS right now. I will just echo what Crystal said. And as far as like doing a more formalized like listening tour, I think it is really good for us to plan on actual opportunities to be able to talk with both Nina's staff and all of the Navigator staff and look at those areas of alignment and look for opportunities for us to work together. And I'm muting now because it's really loud in the office.
Kevin, I'll just add, and sorry for not being on camera, guys, I'm sick, unfortunately, but wanted to participate in any way I could today. I will say that, like, it's rare that I go in a school and don't go in one door and look at what's going on in the classroom and be like, oh my goodness, what's happening here? And every time I've been to Hayward Collegiate, it's been rigorous. It's been joyful. The student culture is very, very strong. And I would say that the teaching staff, you know, as much as I can detect, is very open-minded about growth and getting better. So from my perspective, I've just been really impressed with the student culture and the willingness of their teaching staff to keep getting better.
Right. John, as far as your question about whether the financial folks at Navigator are in agreement with the kind of generally positive financial analysis that Ian shared. Amy has been involved. Ian and I took a step forward on some of the facilities projections that I wasn't able to include Amy in yet today. But Amy, would you like to say anything about just preliminarily looking at the merged or the added costs that the merged CMO would have? And then also Amy did participate working with Nina and Dina of EdTech. Nina, Amy and I did a planning session on the budgetary projections for Hayward Collegiate's growth plan. So I don't know, Amy, are you prepared to say anything on that?
I was not prepared, but I definitely can say something. I am currently almost complete with a long-term budget for the organization, which rolls in Hayward Collegiate's long-term budget. And so once that's complete, we'll have a much clearer idea. The numbers are looking good. Hayward Collegiate's budget is solid. And so we will have some extra costs added to the support office, but we will also be having a 14% support office management fee from Hayward Collegiate. So that offsets some of the costs. But once that budget is complete, we'll definitely make sure that we revisit this.
Great.
And John, I wasn't sure what you might need from a political standpoint, but Nina, any insights that you might be able to provide just to kind of...
Forgive me, Reese, rather than Nina, what I need from political insights, we have an external relations political person. Got and it. I want I want folks to give her the opportunity to provide a risk assessment to this board. With all due respect to Nina, she's our political person, and I'd like an assessment at some later date as to, as I said, what the risks are in terms of board politics or whatever. I know Shara has some insights into this too. And experience, and I'm confident of both of theirs. No disrespect intended, Nina, but I—that's the assessment. You know, those are my political consultants. Frankly, with respect to my vote, and I need to hear what could go wrong on this, given the fact that we're putting some money into the preliminary walk-up. Yeah, Kirsten, go ahead.
I will start working on something like this and get it to you guys as soon as possible. And I will definitely work with Shara on just her insight into Alameda County and the political risks. And we'll get something to the board as soon as possible.
Terrific. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, John, for the clarification. So we know that, you know, there's that might be pending a little bit and a little bit on the financial piece, but any other key questions, issues, things that you feel like you're going to need more information on moving forward, or, you know, even prior to your decision?
I can just share a little here, and I know that I have a deeper dive into it because I've been on the, you know, obviously on the committee, but I think it's helpful at least have some of the discussions now for context setting. But I mean, when I think about the big buckets, we've kind of talked about, you know, culture, academic program, a lot of alignment there, financials, you know, still work to be done, but looking positive. Politics, we've been chatting about that. But if I look, you know, 2 years from now I recap, and things didn't go exactly as planned, an outstanding question might be on enrollment in Hayward overall, given some of the school closures and declining enrollment. So that was something that was top of mind for me. I had, you know, discussed some with Kevin around that. Just love to provide some opportunity to either Nina or Kevin on just like, hey, how are you guys seeing enrollment in Hayward overall? Because we're signing up for, you know, the long term, right? As a joint organization, and we want to make sure that we're able to, meet the full vision of the school and full opportunity of all kids served, and that's contingent upon being able to have, you know, kids there in the seats.
I'm happy to talk about that. Thank you, Ian. In regards to enrollment, we've always been in a really strong place for a couple of reasons. One, there's one other charter elementary program available to Hayward residents, and they're not high quality. And so families really want to be part of our program. We really try to just recruit in South Hayward so that we know we are serving scholars that need it. What we have learned from other middle schools and high schools is that the second residents in the Hayward Hills understand that there is a charter option, they start to sort of clog our enrollment. So we actually do really specific marketing and recruitment efforts. And right now, about 95% of our scholars come from within a 5-mile radius of where we are. So we're happy about that. We have about 3 to 5 schools in the district closing because they are not able to meet their enrollment metrics. That actually opens the door for us quite a bit, given that we don't need, you know, at any time, we won't need 500 kindergarten seats. At most, we'll need 60. So we're pretty solid on that.
Thank you for that.
Great. All right, thank you, Nina. Any other questions, comments for anyone here?
I'd love to say two things. I think going back to the culture question, I think this is very similar to me. I had the analogy of, you know, dating, engagement, and marriage in my head. Right now, this is the dating phase and everything seems really good and you're getting the best of each other. And that's great. But once you get engaged and then eventually once you tie the knot, you need to come up with new ways of being together that's really grounded in the mission, grounded in the values, and grounded in like specific, clearly articulated ways of working together. Just like when you think about a marriage or a partnership, if you're doing things the old way, and if you're doing things the old way, you're gonna have two people just kind of diverging and going in different directions. And so what are the best practices of Navigator and what are the best practices of Hayward and how do we bring them together from an adult culture perspective to really make this happen? The second thing I was thinking a lot about is just integration. And when you think about drilling down on the operational areas that we've looked at, there are some that are clear strengths. I think finance is one that we feel pretty confident and comfortable with. So when we think about an integration plan, let's go there first. That's a clear and easy place to kind of get a clear win. There's the merging process for that is much more straightforward. And then if there are places that feel sticky right now, let's think about how we push those later on in the integration plan. Like the switch doesn't need to flip overnight and our ideal vision being met tomorrow, right? It can really take multiple years. And having lived through one, like there are still iterations of things that we're going through. It probably took, I would say, 4 to 5 years to really get to the place where say we're like, yeah, okay, we're officially one organization and we're good to go. So I think time is on our side here from the perspective of integration. It's not necessarily on our side from the perspective of politics. So that's, you know, a place we need to maybe move a little faster, but the actual rollout can be kind of step by step and gradual and methodical and really have that strong cultural underpinning.
Thanks, Sarah. Yeah, you know, I always tell people it definitely is kind of a destination. Everybody's all like, just like marriage, if you think it's going to be great just because you get married, it's, you know, I'm not saying that marriage is bad, but it takes work, right? And this is what this relationship takes. It takes work. And not everything's going to be better because you all are come together right away. It's going to take some time to evolve into what you want to be. So it's a long kind of trajectory. We usually tell people, Shars, you know, I think she has it right on, but we used to tell people it takes at least 2 years to find the trust and comfort level. And then it's like, oh, things start happening a lot easier, but still it's a long process to get this, you know, integrated.
This is JP. I just have a quick question. Has there been any dialogue regarding COVID? I mean, we've been through it for a couple of years, right? We're still looking at it as a quote unquote pandemic, possibly moving into an endemic, but are we mapping that, with our future growth plans, challenges, et cetera? I mean, you know, if we've had a recent spike here, so we're trying to battle that, but I'm just wondering if that has been also a talking point.
I'll say, JP, the biggest impact that COVID has had on a lot of organizations has been the decline in enrollment, which we haven't experienced and nor has Hayward Collegiate. So we've had a larger number of families not return this year compared to other years, but because of our healthy wait list, we've been able to backfill those spaces. And Nina has a full 32 students in their kindergarten, the new students in Hayward Collegiate. As it relates to operational plans, JP, there's not a lot of variance across organizations because we're all, for the most part, following very similar guidelines. Sure, it's Alameda County, different than Santa Clara County, but most of the county's guidance are very much the same. So you probably see the same kind of mitigation strategies happening at Hayward Collegiate as you would at Navigator.
Thanks, Kevin.
Definitely.
All right. I'm just being conscious of time. I have not necessarily any place to go, but I'm sure many of you do. We have about 5 minutes, and I just want to make sure people and folks are able to address any kind of pending questions, last minute questions that you all want to make sure to raise.
And if more come up for you after this meeting, please feel free to email them. And if they're for Nina, I can forward them on to her, though she's very easy to find on the internet, HaywardCollegiate.org. But we really appreciate Luis, you being here with us today, facilitating it, and all the time that you spent supporting both of our organizations through this process to this point. And Nina, it was great to have you with us. And so I'll just pass it back to you, John, knowing we have some closing items in the last few minutes we have. Probably should have done that when John was on camera.
I would assume he's fighting with his cat right now. So
we might have lost him.
I'm sure the cat jumped on the monitor, clicked the stop button, and that's where we're at.
Nina, are there any final words you'd like to share with the board?
Just really grateful for the time. And, you know, whether this works out or not, I've had such a great relationship with NAVI from 4 years ago, and it really changed the way I built Hayward Collegiate. So I'm always grateful for the work you all are doing for kids.
There's definitely a lot of shared values and mission here.
Nina, are you allowing visitors aside from, like, you know, our model providing kind of support, if any of the board members had an opportunity to get out that way?
Yes, we can definitely make that happen.
Awesome. Okay, any final questions while we wait for John potentially to come back? No, okay. I think that, normally Nora would have picked up as the vice chair to take the reins in the absence of our, there's John. Hey, John, we wrapped up.
Sorry about that, guys. Yeah, I'm sorry for the delay. It's the hazards of renovations and contractors. So thank you for your patience and sorry to delay that. Wrap up of the conversation and additional questions for Luis or Nina? Okay, I think we can then bring this section to a close, yes? Great, thank you. And we will, the next section is closed to the meeting, correct? Or the vote, I'm sorry, the vote. We didn't have the vote.
The vote for the merger will be is scheduled for the February
8th. Right. Yeah. Okay.
I think the next item is adjournment, John.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
It's JP, so moved.
And a second?
Second.
Thank you, Chuck. And the discussion is a meeting on February 8th. And until then, if board members have questions similar to what I asked about political, please send them to Kevin and we can go from there. And Kevin, if you could have folks prepared to answer those questions in the board discussion on the 8th, that would be great.
Absolutely, John.
And I want to thank the board members for these past two meetings. As I indicated, on Friday, we learned that we may have to have an additional meeting for LCAPS at some later date, and the board is notified of that, and we'll try and make that as convenient as possible. Thanks very much. Sean, could you call for adjournment, please, or call the roll for adjournment?
Chuck Daggs.
Aye.
Ian Connell. Ian. I think that was a yes.
Yeah, he's there. He's up.
JP.
Aye.
John Flaherty.
Aye.
Shar Agde.
Aye.
Victor Predis-Colonia.
Aye.
The motion to adjourn is passed.
Thank you. Well, the meeting is adjourned with our thanks to Nina for her presentation and the effort she's making up there. And Luis, thanks very much for your expertise. Thanks, everybody.